Hello, welcome. Welcome to my first fantasy football El Jefe podcast. My name is Jesse, and just like to put some content out on this podcast as far as you know my personal experiences in playing fantasy football. I've been doing it for the last 9 years. And funny story on how I got started. I've always been a good, always been a fan of football. Always just my favorite NFL team is the Dallas Cowboys, and so that was the only thing I would have to look forward to every Sunday for the before 2010, on just watching them play. Really didn't care about any other team, and it's been rough. It's been rough as a Cowboy fan for, I guess since the age of 10, since they won their last, that was the last time they won a Super Bowl against the Steelers, Super Bowl 30. It's been a tough stretch, but now that I am just this fantasy football fanatic, it's really changed the way I've see the. Each team, each player, even down to my my favorite team. But a little bit about me: I started playing back in 2010, and again I was going into my story, but it was an office league, and I said why not? Let's give it a go. I'd heard about it, but I never really spent too much time thinking about it, so I joined. Well, that year in 2010, I don't have my team in front of me. I think what we could do is on the next few podcasts is just kind of go over my team year by year, and then just kind of see the gradual improvement each and every year. But anyways, I think that was the only year that I have ever done a auto draft. I don't remember what I was doing that night. I might have forgotten that I had a draft. And so the computer picked my team. And I didn't, at the time, I looked at some players I had never heard of because, again, I had never really followed, any other sport, any other team other than the Cowboys. But I ended up with a pretty solid squad. And I think I even made it into the playoffs and was just knocked down the first round. But yeah, I got hooked. Just the way everything was just, the stats that were recorded each and every week, I was paying more and more attention to it. And that's where the passion and the love started growing for it. I mean, it was something that I had never kept up with. And I guess, I'm somewhat of what you would say a numbers guy. I started just really kind of diving deep into player stats, previous years. I think my way of researching information is a little unorthodox, but nevertheless, I'm sure there's other guys out there kind of doing the same thing that I do. So, but anyways, that's kind of a quick intro of my. My experience with fantasy football. I mean, since 2010, the cool thing about Yahoo, which is basically the only platform I've used to play fantasy football, I think 2 years ago I was invited to a friends league, and we ended up doing the NFL platform, and that kind of didn't work out because. Again, I mean, I've been so used to the Yahoo platform, and that's kind of what we stuck with since then. Not saying the NFL platform wasn't good or anything. It was just the fact that we were just kind of used to just the Yahoo settings. But anyways, that platform being Yahoo has a good way of. Keeping track of your record since and it keeps a way of managing every team that you've have managed. So I looked at the settings. It's pretty cool. Go to my profile, And so I have a record of 141 wins with 97 losses. My winning percentage is 59.2. I've managed a total of 15 games. I have 7 trophies, and I've only won the Big Dance twice in my entire career, that being 2011 and then being 2017. 2011, I believe, was a 10-man league, and then 2017 was a 12-man league. But prior to that, 2014 and 2015, I managed 14 teams and finished second in both of those, in all four for those teams that I managed. Before that, 2016 was a huge bust. I think I only did one league that year, and I finished eighth. And we can talk about that year. It was not a pretty one. 2017, I won it, and that I ended up picking some guys that I kind of studied in the off season and even up to the actual draft, and I ended up, like I said, winning the whole thing and counting on some guys that didn't have a good season the year before that. So and then in 2018 I finished third. I didn't have a strong draft, I believe, in last year's, but I was able to make some good pickups off the waiver wires, off the waiver wire, and they paid big for me. Like I was able to pick up Kittle after week one. I lost to Laney Walker as my tight end, and just got really lucky with Kittle, and he helped me out a lot, but it wasn't enough to get over that first round in the playoffs. But anyways, that's kind of a quick kind of intro to who I am, what I'm about, kind of my track record, and I love to put as much content on this podcast for anybody that loves and is actively playing fantasy football to tune in and hopefully gain some good points or gain some good knowledge about some players that they were kind of on the fence of picking up this year, 2019, and kind of just going with them. And another thing too, like I like listening, and I'll mention several podcasts that I'm constantly finding myself listening to. Everybody has a diff their different spin on different players and teams and just what's out there. I mean, we're all kind of speculators. I mean, we will never know what really truly happens until kickoff. And that's kind of what makes it fun. So I'm using this this podcast to just deliver as much content and knowledge we that I have and I have to offer to anybody who's interested in listening. So thanks again, and we'll see you guys on the second episode. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Fantasy Football El Jefe podcast, episode number two. Welcome and thank you for listening. Today, I want to be able to shed some light on the type of research I do before my drafts. And what this episode will go over is the most important position I think this year is the running back position. And so what I did is I pulled the list for the top 10 finishers in rushing attempts last year. And this is what I found. Ezekiel Elliott with 304 attempts. And that's important to know because, as anybody, the more that the player is being utilized, the more opportunities that he creates for himself to score points on your team. And so based on the mock drafts that I've done this year, Zeke is almost flying off the board anywhere in the top three picks. And that's a good pick going into this year because of pure volume. Number two with 261 attempts was Saquon Barkley. And that was despite having, a shitty offensive line. And I think that, this year they made some improvements. And I think with that being said, those numbers could definitely go up. Targets could go up based on Odell not being there this year. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. Number three in rushing attempts. Now, again, let me emphasize here. This is just attempts. We're not even talking about points here. This is just pure volume that I'm noting here. That way, as you're going into your draft, you're keeping in mind of the players that are seeing a lot of carries. And again, so David Johnson with 258, and he played for a shitty offense as well. Dead last year. They did hire Cliff Kingsbury as their new head coach to help with that. Todd Gurley with 256 attempts. Everyone's saying, you know, stay away from Gurley. He's going to regress. He's not going to get the bulk of the carries anymore. He's not a workhorse. But guess what? Even if you take 15% of those attempts, you're still going to end up with a top 10 running back. So, you know, despite what everybody's saying, if you're able to pick up Gurley in the second round, do it. I mean, that guy's still going to provide a heck of a volume for his team. So that's who finished at number four. And number five is actually a shocker for me. I did not expect such a high output by this player, but it was Adrian Peterson with the Redskins. And so they did pick up AP last year when Darius Geis suffered that ACL tear. And I mean, he was a guy running the ball. And so now the big question is, how are the Redskins going to utilize those Darius Geis and AP this season? So that's probably a backfield that I want to stay away from. But look at the numbers. It shows that the Redskins love to run the ball. 251 carries with one player. So they'll commit to somebody. Number six was Jordan Howard. Well, now Jordan Howard played for the Bears last year, and he had 250 carries. So there's two notes here that I want to go over. They drafted David Montgomery from Iowa State, and from what I've been reading, he seems to be the guy that's been taking, you know, first team reps and is just getting a lot of praise. And, you know, again, this is all camp news that really can't determine until we see the preseason games, but that's a guy that you probably want to keep in your radar based on bulk. And he's a proven back. I think he had over 200 rushing attempts last year and over 1,000 yards rushing. So he's proven that he can be a workhorse. Number seven was Chris Carson with the Seahawks at 247. And, you know, that's another backfield where it can get a little bit can get a little messy with not knowing who the starter is going to be. I mean, I know Rashard Penny's there. The Seahawks love to run the ball. And they also brought in a new offensive coordinator that was a former quarterback coach for the Colts. And reports have it that, you know, that offense will be a run-first offense. So that's something that you want to keep in mind as you're drafting your players and basing it on volume. You know, is it going to be Chris Carson? Is it going to be Penny? These are just things that you just want to keep an eye on. Number eight was Joe Mixon with 237. And so now this offense really is, it changes dynamics because they did hire a new coach. They let go of Marvin Lewis. And we just don't know if the new coaching staff that's in place will depend on a workhorse back. They still have Giovanni Bernard in that backfield. So see a 50-50 split between him and Joe Mixon. Number nine was Peyton Barber with 234. And we might see Ronald Jones step in there, which he's a sophomore, going into sophomore year. Did horrible last year. That's why they gave the job to Barber. But Barber didn't seem to do anything with those attempts. And basically, you know, you're stepping into an offense where they hired a coach that's produced quality backs. Bruce Arians, I think had brought Andre Ellington to a good year, and not to mention David Johnson. So keep an eye on that backfield. And number 10 was Christian McCaffrey. Now, CMC ended with 219 attempts on the ground. And you also have to consider, you know, who the OC is there, and that's North Turner. And so you might be able to still see the same amount of carries or an increase in his production this year. And again, this is just pure attempts. We're not even talking about points. And basically that's why I wanted to go over in this podcast. Just highlight the top 10 running backs that had the most volume. Because again, I determine everything of opportunities. And if your guy is getting those opportunities, there's a higher chance of your guy scoring points for you. So just wanted to make this quick podcast where, you know, I just provide some kind of value, some highlights for each running back in the respective position. That way, when you're going into your draft, you have that in mind. You know, who are the guys that are going to receive the rock? And that's what you want as far as in the running back position. I think the next episode, I'm going to go over the receiving targets. That way, you know, we can highlight those and see how that benefits you in a PPR setting. So thank you for listening. Wanted to make a quick episode. I know it had been a while, but we'll get back on it on the next one. Thank you again. Signing off.